Hello and welcome to the Bingeables podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin
and Isaac.
So no Steve this time?
No, I'm definitely not Steve. Don't call me Steve.
If this is your first time tuning in to our podcast, thank you, and we hope you enjoy this episode we are about to dive into. And if you are a returning listener, we also thank you, and we just want to remind everyone, please leave us a review on any of your favorite pod chasers. We really appreciate it.
Okay, so now to our segment that is not, you know, part of the show is Whatcha Bingin'. So, Chinlin, Whatcha Bingin'?
Whatcha Bingin' is part of the show.
Well, I mean, it's not part of the thing that the show is, I guess. It's definitely part of our show, but it's not...
It's a part of our show.
It's not a part of, like, what the main core of the show is, I guess. Like, the core of the show is reviewing a TV show, and this is not reviewing a TV show. This is...
I think you're confusing our listeners right now.
Talking about a show that we're watching.
Whatcha Bingin'? I will start. I recently binged on Monsterland. It's labeled as a horror anthology, original Hulu series. So I'm not that big on horror in general. I get scared easily. But I do like suspense, and I do like supernatural aspects in TV shows. So this was very enjoyable. The first episode was really creepy. The second one was not as creepy, but still a little weird. Every episode's different because it's an anthology, so all the characters are different. And actually, by the last episode, you see someone in the first episode, so they try to like tie it up in a nice little ribbon when you're done binging the season. But yeah, it was more existential than scary. Ooh. To me.
Okay.
Because we're dealing with like human evils, not necessarily supernatural evils all the time.
Okay, because I remember I had seen a couple of episodes with you, and I'm like, this seems like in this show, monsters are an allegory for mental illness, and all these people are having mental breakdowns. I was wondering if they had touched on that at all. Sounds like no.
Well, there's one episode. So Taylor Schilling, she plays Piper Chapman in Orange is the New Black, which I know you don't like.
I don't dislike that show.
Wait, then who do you... Oh, you just don't like the name Piper because it reminds you of Piper Chapman.
I guess. I think it's a dumb name. Yes.
Well, I think your name is dumb.
Well, that's fine. I like my name, but
okay, well, anyways, Piper Chapman, the actress who plays her on Orange is the New Black, she's in episode 4 of Monsterland. She does an excellent job playing her character, and I won't spoil anything, but, yeah, that episode definitely dealt with mental illnesses, and Hulu actually gave a warning at the beginning.
Okay.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think monsters in this case is some sort of allegory, not necessarily with mental illnesses, but just like how we deal with them. I also sort of binged on The Boys. Actually, you and I both binged on this because we were recently a guest with Mati from the Movie Marathoners podcast. So we binged like the last... We kind of binged the first half because we needed to be ready for his recording. And then I did not... Did I binge the second half? I guess I did because they release weekly episodes, but I wasn't watching them weekly.
Yeah, we just waited till the rest of the episodes were out and then finished the rest of the season.
That's right. And then just this past weekend, I watched Sleepy Hollow, the movie, not the TV show. For once, I was actually in the mood for a movie. Huh.
That's almost never me. Almost.
because you're always in the mood for a movie, and I need to be in the mood. And when I'm in the mood, I need to know what exactly I'm in the mood for, because otherwise I waste time just browsing on Netflix.
No, I mean the other way. Like I'm almost never in the mood for a movie.
Really?
Yeah. Like, so there are movies that I'm like, oh yeah, I want to see that movie, but nah, I don't want to do it right now.
And then I also watched this Snow White retelling, Mirror Mirror, starring Julia Roberts. I like Julia Roberts and her performances. The movie itself, Mirror Mirror, I do not recommend. It's definitely, like, aimed towards families and kids and, like, I don't know. I kind of just watched it because I needed something to play in the background, and I knew the story because it's freaking Snow White.
Well, see, that's what I figured you were looking for when you started.
Yeah, no, that's what I was looking for, and this is my commentary on it.
Oh, okay.
Mirror Mirror was mostly stupid.
Okay. I have not been watching anything. I finished another book series called The Bobiverse, where a guy dies and is resurrected as an artificial intelligence and is told to go out and, you know, populate the rest of the galaxy with humans, and shenanigans happen. I just finished book 4. I don't know if there will be more books, but it's there probably will be. But it's good. And I've just gotten back into Discworld, which is the famous Terry Pratchett comedy series about, you know, a world on a disc. I restarted at book 4 because I at least listened to books 1 through 3 before, and I didn't feel like re-listening to book 1 because I remember it not being that funny.
And you wanted to listen to the series because you know it's funny.
I know it's funny. I've laughed several times already in this book. It's good. Terry Pratchett's got a good writing style for comedy in the Discworld series, which is something like 40 books long. So I'll probably be listening to that for quite some time. Okay, so we are here today to talk about Star Trek Lower Decks.
Star Trek Lower Decks is an animated series, part of the Star Trek media franchise. It premiered on CBS All Access on August 6, 2020. CBS aired episodes every week on Thursdays, which Isaac was keeping up with for a while. There are 10 episodes in season 1, and I believe, according to IMDb, there is going to be a season 2. And
woo!
There's 10 episodes, so it makes for a very quick binge if you want to watch it all at once.
This is our spoiler-free preview, where we've finished watching the show and we'll give you an overview and explain why we think geeks should watch it.
The official synopsis is the support crew serving on one of Starfleet's least important ships, the USS Cerritos, have to keep up with their duties, often while the ship is being rocked by a multitude of sci-fi anomalies.
Okay, so why did we choose this show to binge and talk about?
Did you notice that I'm changing it up a little bit?
I did not.
Oh. Well, because normally I talk about the crew and the cast before this part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm changing it up.
Oh, that's good. I like it.
I'm glad. So, we did our bonus two-parter on Star Trek The Next Generation. So, I'm officially hooked on the Star Trek franchise. So, and it was good timing with this show, Star Trek Lower Decks, because it just came out back in August. So, I figured it was a good segue after covering our family comedy, Raising Hope. So, why do I think geeks should watch this show? So, if you're an actual fan of Star Trek The Next Generation, then basically Lower Decks was made for you in mind. They are catering to this audience. And it's basically the same sort of adventures you would come across in The Next Generation, but just less dramatic because it's an animated comedy series. And I'm a huge fan of scores, scores in television, scores in movies. So the theme is by Chris Westlake, and he does a really good job. I really like this theme. I actually told Isaac I prefer this Lower Decks theme over the Next Generation theme, and he got mad at me.
Boo.
He got mad
boo.
At me. Oh, boo you. I'm not saying I don't like the Next Generation thing. I'm just saying I think the Lower Decks theme sounds better.
No, I heard you, and it's blasphemy. And you better watch out, because God will smite you for these words.
Or, you know, he'll just kill me in my sleep, because we sleep in the same room.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to pull a badgie on me?
No.
That is a reference to the show. And so aside from the theme... Oh, I wanted to mention this really quick. Towards the second half of the theme song with the credits, the animation shows you the USS Cerritos from the side, and it's going from right to left, and there's like this alien bug clinging on to the back of the ship. I love watching that every time I see the theme credits. I don't know why. It's just so soothing. And maybe it's because I'm so used to seeing shots of starships from, like, above or in front or from the back. But, like, we don't see it too often from the side. Like, 90 degrees from the side.
Yeah, what's commonly known as the profile view.
The profile... Shut up! Aside from the score and the theme, the sound effects they use in Lower Decks are also from the... Next Generation.
Right. Because it's not that long after The Next Generation. It takes place after the events of The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and The Next Generation movies.
There are
but not that far after. Like all of the people in those series are theoretically still alive. You know, with the exception of the ones that died on camera.
Lower Decks also has the occasional fourth wall breaks, and they're almost always concerning the Enterprise.
No, it's, yeah, so that's actually my take on the show. If you have seen the original series, and if you've seen, or if you've seen The Next Generation, if you're familiar with Star Trek universe in general, you will love this show. If you are not familiar with the universe, the show is still good, but the
jokes are going to fly past you.
The jokes will feel non sequitur. They'll be like, what if X, Y, and Z happen? X, Y, and Z happen to be like different plot lines from different Star Trek episodes. You will just think, whoa, that's weirdly specific, but, you know, funny because there are weird things to be worried about, right? So it's still funny, but if you're not familiar with the universe, it won't be as funny, because if you're familiar with the universe, you'll be like, oh, right, those things did happen and they are ridiculous. That is funny.
And another reason why I recommend this show is because there's actually a lot of notable guest stars who voice in the show. They're like small cameos, but you'll recognize them if you pay attention. So Phil LaMarr, he's the admiral, the first one we see in the first episode, who's married to Captain Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was him. I had to look in the credits, and I was like, oh, it's Phil LaMarr. I like that guy.
Yeah, same. Like, I didn't recognize his voice or anything. I just, like, looking over the cast, was like, oh, Phil LaMarr. Right, that guy.
We saw him once at a Fan Expo Dallas.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's cool. At least in that interview, he seemed pretty cool.
Yeah, he had a panel. Jillian Jacobs... Haley Joel Osment, Paul F. Tompkins, Lauren Tom. I'm just throwing out notable guest stars, but these are the ones I found in the IMDb list. And I was like, wow, they voiced in these episodes? I didn't even realize that. So I was like, cool.
Oh, Jerry O'Connell. He's not a guest star.
We're going to get to him.
Yeah, okay, okay.
What are your reasons for wanting to talk about the show and recommend it to... Well, actually, you just agreed with most of...
I agreed
with most of everything I said.
I've loved Star Trek The Next Generation since I watched it as a kid. I have never really been a fan of the original series, though I am familiar with some of the tropes and a couple of the episodes, which I know there was a joke that fell flat for you when... the captain was talking about the contraband on the ship, and she was like, a tribble? And I'm like, ah, yeah, because there's an episode of the original series called Trouble with Tribbles, which are these, like, cute little furballs that people wanted to keep as pets, and they, like, just replicated, like, nonstop, and they filled up, like, the entire ship with, you know, tribble bodies, and it became a huge problem with the ventilation ducts and stuff.
This is totally off topic.
Yeah, sorry.
But no. This reminded me of something that I'm going to talk about very briefly because it's totally off topic. Uh-huh. It's like that one Yu-Gi-Oh! Monster card. It's that brown puffy monster that Yugi likes to play because it's weak, but it doubles itself.
Yeah.
Or multiplies itself.
Exactly, yep.
So it's like, that's a tribble.
Yep, uh-huh.
Okay, well... All right. If anyone has watched the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime as a late 90s, early 2000s kid, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Or if you played the card game as an adult. I'm not looking anywhere. Yeah, so I like the show because I really enjoy the Star Trek universe, and... I like a comedic take on the Star Trek universe, and I like animations because it allows for characters to continue without aging, which is not really something that can happen in live action. It also allows for a lot more crazy things to happen without them having to look real, and, you know, blowing your entire budget on visual effects. Looking at you, Star Trek Discovery, Jesus. I started watching the first episode of that, recently, and I'm like, man, you guys spent a lot of money on visual effects and makeup for all those Klingons, but wow. It's a lot easier to pull that kind of stuff off in an animated show, because, you know, it's a lot easier to draw someone or something than to, have to, you know, make practical effects or visual effects for it.
But with the makeup and the visual effects and live action, if they're going all out on it, at least those people, you know, have really cool jobs and are getting paid for their work.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason why I say this, it's because we're still in the COVID pandemic, so it's really hard to, like, work in a safe environment, so people are doing remote.
Well, it's easier to do remote work if the show is animated.
Yeah, I know.
Talk to those people at Archer.
I appreciate the stuff that we see more, like, in person.
Yeah, but this is not about Star Trek Discovery. This is about Star Trek Lower Decks. I like, and, you know, for those reasons, I like Lower Decks. For similar reasons why I like the Orville, I like it much better than the Orville, though, not only because it's, you know, in Star Trek universe, but also because it picked a lane. I feel like the Orville has this problem of wanting to be funny and wanting to be a serious adaptation of the Star Trek material, or, you know, a parallel sort of story. Sometimes it just does not work because it's like, man, is this show a comedy? Or are they really taking themselves seriously? And the Orville won't pick a lane. Star Trek Lower Decks definitely picked a lane. They went, we're going comedy for sure. And it works very well.
You know what sucks about watching the Orville last year and now watching The Next Generation and now Lower Decks? It makes me like the Orville less.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of ruined for me. And
because you see all the parallels that I was pointing out, I'm like, no, that's just a Worf. You'll see.
Yeah. So, but I still like the Orville. It's just not as good to me anymore. So I can't. When I tried to rewatch the pilot, and I was like, oh, okay. Oh, I'm starting to see the flaws that Isaac was talking about. Damn it.
Yeah, it's just so incredibly derivative. And you're like, okay, well, if it's going to be that derivative, that's okay. But it should probably go for not serious and funny, which is not what they do. So, that's where that falls apart for me.
Yeah. So back to Star Trek Lower Decks. Now we're going to talk about the crew and cast. So starting with the creator, Mike McMahon. So if his name sounds vaguely familiar to you guys, it's because he is the co-creator of Solar Opposites, which we recorded and covered with Josh from Beer with Buffy podcast back in like late May, early June. So like the drawing animation style of Lower Decks is pretty much similar to Solar Opposites, and thus going back to Rick and Morty, because Mike McMahon is a co-writer for Rick and Morty.
Okay, that does make sense. There were definitely, especially in the more violent scenes, I'm like, this definitely has a sort of Rick and Morty feel to it.
Yeah, like the eyes are kind of big in that drawing style.
But no star pupils this time. Pupils are like round, like normal things. Okay, so I guess you want to go over the cast now? Is that where we're headed?
Yep.
Okay, so the show is really kind of about these four characters, kind of led by Beckett Mariner, played by Tawny Newsom. She has apparently been on Space Force with Steve Carell. Oh, was she the... I guess she must have been his pilot.
I didn't watch it. You watched it.
I did watch it. And I'm like, I don't necessarily... Yeah, she must have been the pilot that was working with Steve Carell on Space Force. And then we just did the second season of The Boys, and Jack Quaid was in that. He's also playing Brad Boimler. Brad, it's not just Brad. He's like Brad...
No, you're going to spoil it.
Oh, right. Is that a... Okay.
And we didn't cover The Boys. We talked about The Boys on another podcast.
Right. And you guys should go check that out.
That was Movie Marathoners podcast with Monty.
Yes.
But yeah, did you know that Jack Quaid was voicing Brad? Because pretty sure you didn't know.
I did not know. Okay. I had no idea.
Yeah,
I did not.
I recognized his name in the credits, and I was like, oh, it's that guy.
So I recognized the name, but I didn't, like, I am super bad with placing, like, names to people who play things. So,
oh, yeah, I know.
Like, if someone had been like, oh, yeah, it's Jack Quaid, I'd been like, right, that sounds like a famous person, but I don't know who that is, even right after having watched The Boys. I'd been like, I don't know who Jack Quaid is. I do now. I don't know how long I'll retain that information. I will probably forget.
Do you know who Jack Quaid is?
I mean, right now, yeah. He's the guy from... He plays Huey in The Boys, and he plays Brad Boimler in Lower Decks.
Do you know who his parents are?
Oh, Dennis Quaid, I assume.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh.
When I first watched season one of The Boys, I was like, who's Jack Quaid? And then I looked him up. His parents are Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan. I had no idea they had a kid.
I didn't know they were married. I mean, I don't follow celebrity coupling, so I have...
No, I don't either, which is why I didn't know.
Yeah.
And like, but I like Meg Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't really have an opinion of any of them. Yeah, I'm like the worst person to talk about actors. Okay, so then the other two, besides Brad and Beckett, or Mariner and Boimler, if you want to go by last names, which they do for most of the show, there's Devonna Tindy, who goes by Tindy mostly, played by Noelle Wells, and Eugene Cordero plays...
You're skipping over Noelle!
No, I'm not. I'm going to go back, but they go hand in hand. Like, it's kind of two pairs. You generally see Rutherford and Tindy together, and Rutherford is played by Eugene Cordero. Noelle Wells, who plays Tindy, you will have seen her on Master of None with Aziz Ansari, and she also has been on Saturday Night Live with a bunch of people.
Oh, no, those are the actors she's played.
Oh, that makes more sense. Parentheses mean nothing to me. So she's played Reba McEntire, Kylie Jenner, Allison Hannigan, Britney Spears, and Emma Stone on SNL.
Three of those are redheads, because Noelle is also a redhead. At least she was a redhead in Master of None.
Yeah, she's a greenhead in the show.
Wait, what species is Ensign Tindy?
She says something about being from Orion. I'm not familiar with that species being in any of the previous incarnations of Star Trek, though I could be wrong.
Okay, because I don't remember her explicitly saying what she was.
It comes up in a later episode.
Okay, I'm blanking out right now, yeah. But her character is green.
Yeah, it comes up in the movie episode.
Okay, all right. And then Eugene Cordero had no idea. He was, I recognized his profile on IMDb, and I was like, it's Pillboy from The Good Place.
It is Pillboy from The Good Place.
It's Jason's dumb friend.
Yeah.
But like, he's dumb, but good-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Eugene Cordero has also voiced in Bob's Burgers and Central Park, both by Lauren Bouchard. I still need to watch Central Park. I just don't want to sign up for an Apple TV subscription because we have too many subscriptions right now.
Isn't that the truth? Then we've got Captain Carol Freeman, who's the captain of the ship, obviously, played by Don Lewis. Don Lewis, in the late 80s, early 90s, was in a sitcom called A Different World and voiced various roles in The Simpsons and Futurama and The Cleveland Show, further pointing to the idea that if you get a job in voice acting on television, you kind of get it for life and everyone will hire you, and then, you know, no one else can get into the industry because, you know, you're already there.
Ouch.
Like, that's a common complaint for people trying to get into voice acting, is that they're like, it's super hard to get into. You, like, but once you get in, you're in and everyone will hire you. But until you get in, no one will hire you.
I had she wasn't a roommate. She was a suite mate. We shared a bathroom. It was connected between our bedrooms, suites. I had a suite mate in college who was a voice actress. She did some anime voicing.
Mm.
I don't remember which anime, because it was one I had never heard of, but I remember her talking about voice acting and, like, If people heard her screaming in her bedroom, it was because she was voice acting, not because there's anything bad happening.
I'm just rehearsing. I swear to you, I'm not being murdered. Just trying to rehearse.
Yeah. And last but not least, we have Jerry O'Connell as Commander Jack Ransom. He is the first officer, so Captain Carol Freeman's right-hand man. He is in a lot of stuff. If you just see his name on a title, you're probably not going to know who he is. But he shows up in a lot of shows. So he was in Billions. He's been in Drunk History, and he guest starred in The Big Bang Theory as George Cooper Jr., so Sheldon Cooper's older brother.
And the thing that most of us will probably recognize him from is the sci-fi show Sliders from the 90s. He starred in that.
Okay, I never saw that, so...
Yeah, it had something like 4 or 5 seasons. The show was about, he had created this device that allowed you to travel between alternate realities, and in the first episode, he, like, takes some people with him, and then the device breaks, and then they're just trying to get back to their own reality for the rest of the series. And the sort of plot device to get back gets, I don't know, pretty old after a while, sort of reminiscent of, season one of Voyager, when they keep dangling, like, oh, you'll be able to make it back right now, and then, oh, no, you won't. But the show stayed on for, I think, 4 or 5 seasons. I'm pretty sure I stopped watching in season 3, where they had come back, and it had been 3 years later, and a bunch of, like, football teams had moved and stuff, and they're like, no, this can't be the right reality, so we're gonna leave. I'm like, you bastards.
Jerry O'Connell has also voiced in Justice League Action. You know, it keeps coming up. There was an actor on Raising Hope who also voiced in that.
Yeah, well,
should we watch it?
I mean, I'm definitely not opposed to watching more cartoons. I don't know, for some reason, I kind of prefer animated shows at this point. I don't know why, but if it's animated, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll definitely give that a shot. And it's, I don't know why, but.
I mean, there's a handful of dramas you really love, such as Chernobyl.
Oh yeah, no, that couldn't have been animated. That show was amazing.
That was dark as fuck.
That was super amazing.
I can't rewatch that show.
I could. And you know what? In fact,
you rewatch it because you enjoy the ingenious of it. I can't rewatch it because it's too sad.
So actually, this brings up a thing though that I didn't cover in a previous section for this show. Like, you know, is this like, why did we want to use this show? And I actually find the show very bingeable.
Well, yeah, we're covering it.
Well, but I mean, and super rewatchable. Like, I watched it every week, right? And I didn't miss a week after I knew it existed, which was shortly after the first episode, I think. So I've watched it like when it came out. Not every Thursday, but definitely before the next episode came out, I would watch it. And then I, you know, rewatched it with you, and I definitely saw you in the last couple of days, like, rewatching episodes. And, like, I definitely feel like I could just, and even before we had chosen this show, I was, and before the show, the season ended, I had gone back and just started rewatching episodes just because I'm like, they're nice. Like, I really like the show.
I'm glad. We are going to end with a short section of spoiler-free fun facts about Star Trek Lower Decks. This is mostly going to be very enjoyable for Star Trek fans or, you know, Trekkies. So the first fun fact, this is the first entirely animated Star Trek animated series since the 1973 Star Trek, the animated series.
Yeah, real creative title there, guys.
So, okay, so I'm new. I'm a new Trekkie. I'm a noob. So there was the original series from the 60s, and that's with William Shatner.
Correct.
And Leonard Nimoy.
Correct. And so I'm George Takei.
And George Takei. Okay, so I'm familiar with that. I never watched it, but I'm familiar with it. Right. And I know their faces and their characters. Uh-huh. And then there's Star Trek, the animated series in the 70s. So did the original actors also voice in the 70s animated series?
I have no idea.
Okay, so it's just, like, still in that universe, at least.
Well, so it was the same crew, too. It was still, like, I'm pretty sure it was still Captain Kirk and Spock. You know what? I'll look it up. So, yes, as it turns out, Captain Kirk and Spock and Scotty and Sulu are all played by their original actors, just it's voice acting instead of live action acting. So everyone reprised their same roles, it looks like.
In the animated series from 1973 to 1975 had 22 episodes. Yeah. So I'm guessing they switched over from live action to animation, probably to save money.
Yeah, I would think so. Like, it at least allows you to do a lot more.
You can be more creative if it's just animation.
Yeah, like, it's not going to look ridiculous. Like, so, for example, and you brought this up, you like the opening sequence of The Lower Decks where there's this bug that's, like, suckling on the warp nacelles of the ship. And there was a sort of similar episode in The Next Generation like that, where there was a, like, little baby alien that was sucking energy from the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
But in that episode, it was just some CGI sort of blob stuck to the back of the ship. And it didn't look terrible, but it didn't look great either. It certainly didn't look as complex as the thing in Star Trek Lower Decks. So I think you can get more of that kind of stuff happening in an animated show, because you can just draw it and it will look right in universe, right? Whereas if you're doing live action, you've got to, you know, make it look real, which is very hard to do. Sometimes, which is why season one of The Next Generation is so rough, especially the first Ferengi episode. the theme has callbacks to The Next Generation and Discovery and the animated series. Yeah, I can kind of hear, at least it sounds a little bit like The Next Generation. I've only seen the Discovery opening sequence once, and yeah, it's got some undertones there. I have no idea what the animated series thing sounds like, but apparently it's close. So I would actually say that for themes of Star Trek shows in general, they all sort of sound similar.
It's the orchestra.
Yeah, but even like Deep Space Nine and Voyager, like they're different. But they still feel the same. I guess the progressions? I don't know much about music, but they
probably use some of the same instruments, and then they'll add something different to mix it up.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. But I'm not an expert in music either. I appreciate music, but
the melodies are definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
Though I think what this is, this sort of trivia fact is about, is that I think the melody for this show is very similar to mm-hmm. The Next Generation, Discovery, and the animated series, whereas the other shows do have a different, like a sort of distinctly different melody that just feels like the other shows.
Fun fact number three, half of season one of Star Trek Lower Decks was produced remotely due to COVID-19. The score was recorded remotely, and the second season episodes were written over Zoom calls.
Oh, so there's definitely a second season then.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were
a little cagey at the beginning. You're like, it seems like there's going to be a second season. But
I said according to IMDb,
okay,
which is a good source yeah. And then the fourth fun fact, the series shares its name with an episode of The Next Generation, also called Lower Decks, and it also focused on the lives of its junior officers, aka the ensigns.
Yeah, and that was a super sad episode. she dies. I just spoiled that episode for you.
Well, listeners. If you said she, so you didn't specify the character's name, so I think it's okay. But if you're a Trekkie and you've already watched all of The Next Generation, you obviously know who he's referring to.
Yeah, I was like, as soon as you start that episode, you'll be like, oh, okay. But yeah, that was a sad episode. And then lastly, Captain Freeman is the first black female captain to be captured as a regular on any Star Trek series.
To be featured.
What'd I say? I said captured, didn't I? That's weird.
Yes. You're weird.
I did say captured. Yeah, she's the first one to be featured.
As a regular.
Right. Yeah, because even as a non-regular, I can't think. I mean, because it was in the late 90s, right? They went with, they were like, okay, so we've had Captain Picard. He was an old white guy. People are expecting that. So let's go with a black guy in Commander Sisko for Deep Space Nine and a woman, but a white woman for Captain Janeway in Voyager.
So.
And it was actually, there were people that were like, I don't know if I can handle a female or if people will like a female captain when it was announced that the captain of Voyager would be a woman.
So sexist.
Yeah. There's a lot of sexism going on. We like to think that we were, you know, above that back in the 90s, but we weren't.
Well, people were definitely homophobic in the 90s. I remember a lot of those in sitcoms.
Yeah. It was definitely, like, very okay to make fun of a guy by calling him gay because gay was a bad thing to be on national TV. Like, there was definitely a lot of jokes.
We're getting off topic, but I wanted to say one more thing before we wrap up for real. So, out of the 7 main cast members we listed, 3 of them are people of color. And I want to reiterate that Star Trek, the universe of Star Trek, the people who work on those shows and movies, I want to commend them for always trying to be inclusive of people of color. So, Tawny Newsom is a black woman. Eugene Cordero, I don't know his specific ethnicity, but he looks Filipino?
Yeah, I would actually say that that's what he looks like.
Yeah. He's definitely an Asian man. And then there's also, of course, Dawn Lewis, who is another black woman on the show. So I'm really glad that about half of the main cast are people of color. Because, yeah. Representation matters.
Okay. That's all I've got.
All right. We hope you enjoy Star Trek Lower Decks.
Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/bingeablespod.
You can connect with us on Twitter at bingeablespod, or you can email us at bingeablespod@gmail.com.
Until next time.
The Bingeables podcast is produced by patron Raymond G.
And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin.